and I'll just go.
Hey, we got a little music at the end of that, but good morning, everybody. Good to see you. And he told, get used to those bumper videos, and you don't know you're used to them until it's very awkward when the sound's not working with the sound, right? But that's all right. Good to see you this morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. If you're tuning in online, welcome. Welcome to our online worshipers and viewers this morning. Well, what are you into? What's your thing? What's your thing that you love to do? Maybe you like the outdoors and you like going camping or fishing. Any chance you get, you're going to be out there on the lake. Or maybe you're like my wife Leah and me, we like to travel a lot and see new places and have new experiences all over this planet that God created. Maybe you're into collectibles. You got some kind of collectible you're into, or maybe you like working on cars or playing video games. Maybe you love reading. Reading's your thing. Whatever it is, whatever your thing is, what would happen if Jesus spoke to you directly, you knew it was him talking to you, and he said to give that thing up forever for him? No more fishing, even at our fishing tournament coming up, church fishing tournament, no, you can't go. No more travel, no more books, Randy. What would your introductory paragraph be in the prayer letter if you weren't reading books? No more books. Now, you might ask, well, why would Jesus ask me to give that up? None of those things are sin in and of themselves. Why would he do it? Well, let's just assume that the creator of the universe and the one who died for your sins on the cross had a good reason. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, even if you don't know what it is. Could you do it? Would you do it? Would you lay down such a big part of your life? Today's part 3 in our series, Reasons Not to Follow Jesus. And we're studying what Jesus said as he called his first followers during his earthly ministry. These are some of the toughest words that Jesus spoke, considered by many people, even many churchgoers, to be good reasons not to follow Jesus. It's like our series verse when Jesus said, if anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You don't live for yourself anymore. You take on all the bad that comes with following Jesus, even if it means to torture and death. That's taking up your cross, and you follow. You do the stuff Jesus is doing and teaching. And we've seen that's not an isolated statement. Jesus says this over and over again to anybody who would consider being his follower. It takes real sacrifice to follow Jesus, and this cost should be considered carefully, as should the value of a relationship with Jesus. Is it worth it? This week's alleged reason to not follow Jesus is, I like my lifestyle. I like my lifestyle. We're going to read Jesus' words about a man who had a lifestyle of luxury. He's got it all. And another man who had anything but. And this story follows an exchange that's between Jesus and some Pharisees, the religious elite here, that are being critical of him. There's this exchange while he's teaching his followers. Here's just the tail end of it. He says, this is Jesus speaking at first, you cannot serve both God and money. And then Luke writes, the Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. And he said to them, what people value highly is detestable in God's sight. Jesus warns these well-off religious elite about valuing so highly their luxurious lifestyle. And then he tells this story, and we're going to read the whole story here in one shot, then we'll kind of go back through it, and you can help me when we get to the yellow print, please. All right? Jesus begins. He says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue.'" Good job, guys. That was a long one. Just making sure you're staying awake. He says, "I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. I have five brothers. Let him warn them so they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." It's the gospel according to Luke. As we study this passage, and you want to take your outline out of your program, we're going to explore three reasons here in the story to abandon your lifestyle for Jesus. And primarily, we're looking at a lifestyle of wealth. That's the subject here with this rich man. But every one of these items really does apply to any part of our lifestyle that we value over a relationship with Jesus, that we value or prioritize over doing the things Jesus has us to do, loving the people, helping the people Jesus has put in our lives to help. And so they apply in a lot of different directions in our lives. The first thing you want to write down is that the rich are expected to share. The rich are expected to share. Now, all Jesus says about this rich man who ended up in hell, all he gives us about his life is that he was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. So why did this guy go to hell? Why'd he go to hell? I want more reasons when I read this. I do. I want to hear that, oh, well, he was probably really corrupt and he was exploiting and oppressing people in his business dealings or something like this. Guys, I want him to be worse than me, because I have nice clothes. I even put on my preaching shoes this morning. They're the ones I don't use to cut the grass. I have two pairs of shoes. Actually, I have more than that. I have a nice house. I want to hear this guy was worse off than me. Well, Jesus does identify his crime by introducing us to the next man. Jesus says, "At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered in sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table." How can there be this beggar leaning up against this man's fence in his front yard? Day after day. How can this rich man not get to the bottom of this and help this guy? This beggar,
He wasn't even given the scraps from this rich man's table. He's longing for them, doesn't say he's getting them. He can't even give him his leftovers. Every day, this rich man just floats by Lazarus, loving his life, ignoring him on his way out to do business and whatever he does during his day, floats by him again to go back into his lovely home, just loving his life. Meanwhile, poor Lazarus, he loves God, and he's loved by God. We know that because he ended up in heaven. Lazarus ends up in heaven. We also know he's loved by God because Jesus wants us to know his name. He doesn't give the rich man's name. He gives the poor beggar with the open sores name. God loves this man. And he put Lazarus at the doorstep of this rich man where he should have been able to get all the help he needed. That rich man should have helped him clean up his sores and bandaged them, given him some food to eat. But this nameless rich man goes to hell because his selfish lifestyle proved he did not live for God. It doesn't say if this guy went to temple every day or anything like that, but even if he did, his selfishness, his self-absorbed lifestyle shows that he didn't live for God. It'd have cost him so little to help Lazarus. The rich are expected to share. In fact, anybody claiming to be a follower of Jesus that sees someone else in need must help that person. Failing to do the good that God has called us to do, just sitting on our hands, it's not a morally neutral act. It's a severe sin. It's a severe sin to not do what God has called us to do. Following Jesus means behaving like him. And how did Jesus behave? We see it in Scripture. Paul writes this to the church in Philippi. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Jesus left his glorious life beyond heaven to reach out to us, to serve. He said, the Son of Man came to serve. He came to serve us, the God of heaven, and to save us, even though we rebelled against him. Even though our sin cut us off from relationship, he came to save us. And Jesus demands the same from you and from me if we're going to follow him. Elsewhere in Scripture, it reads, command those that are rich in this present age not to be arrogant. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Do you lay yourself down? Do you lay yourself down for others, for Jesus, for the people he's brought into your life? We're expected to share the blessings we've received from our Lord. It doesn't matter the size of our bank account, really. If you belong to Jesus, you're rich. You've been blessed with every blessing in the heavenly realms. Your time, you're rich in your time, whatever time he's blessed you with, in your talents, in your spiritual gifts, and of course, all of your resources. We are rich in Christ. Even if our bank account is more of a piddly living paycheck to paycheck, you are rich, and he expects us, our Lord expects us to share every blessing we've received, all for his glory, not for our lifestyle, not to use them to bolster up our lifestyle. It may entail helping somebody out financially. It may be a monetary issue, and you help somebody out financially. It might be sharing a meal with somebody. In the case of the rich man, it just, could he give this guy his leftovers? But it might be bringing a meal to somebody who just got out of surgery or had a baby or something, and you want to bless them. It might be giving up your day off. You know, you plan to be working around your house, but you're going to help somebody else out on your day off with a service project or just a neighbor with some kind of work project they've got. This includes prioritizing our time and our talent and our treasures to be used by Jesus in ministry. In ministry to serve others. You know, an upcoming example, and yes, I'm going into an announcement, is our VBS this summer. Truthfully, Jody, our kids director, is looking for volunteers to help out this summer. You can get the details in your program, and if you know how to scan a QR code, you could do it that way, and you can register to help out. And I know there's at least somebody here, and it's okay, you might not want to nod though, because I'm going to make you feel ashamed about this in a minute, but I know there's at least somebody here who's thinking, Chris, did you make a wild leap from helping a poor beggar with open sores to saying sign up for VBS, and you lumped that all together? Okay. Well, now I'm going to make you feel bad for thinking that. No, I thought that myself, but then I remembered two things. Number one, this VBS, we're reaching out to our neighborhood around us. These are families that don't go to church, that are going to be sending out their kids, that don't know Jesus. They're going to be sending out their kids, along with the church kids too, right? And we're giving a safe place, a fun and safe environment for these children to learn about the God of the universe. That's not a small thing. That's a huge, huge thing. It's a huge thing, but even the small things, even the little things around the church, wherever it is you serve, Jesus has something to say about that. In this very chapter, we didn't read it because we started a little later than this, but this is what Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever's dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. In every area of our life, we're to lay it down for the Lord. I've got a pure Michigan example for you guys this morning, all right? This is a real Michigander example about to be laid on you. Let's say you're planning the big extended family get-together at your cabin up north. Does it get more Michigan than that? I mean, come on, right? You're planning the big weekend to go up there and enjoy being up at the cabin with the family. Well, let me ask you this. Do you first check, hey, am I serving this week at church? Is that a priority? Does that even occur to you? That's just an example. That's a little thing, seemingly little thing, but it's an example of where our heart's at. If you can't avoid it being that weekend where you're supposed to be serving in ministry, are you careful to switch with somebody so that you still get to serve that month? Because you don't say, no, I'll just let somebody cover it. The point is God's blessed you with gifts and talents and time to serve. And so do you prioritize that? Do you even just prioritize coming to church in general? You're here today, so you get points, by the way, for that. Even if you're tuned in online right now, you get points. I'm glad you're here. I said that. I meant it. Do you prioritize being at church? And of course, there's vacations. And of course, there's sickness. I go on vacations. I said that at the beginning of this, all right? But, you know, if you only attend church two or maybe three times a month because of all the other lifestyle commitments you've built around yourself, do you know if you only attend church two or three times a month, you're missing 3 to 6 months of church every year? That's what it adds up to, 3 to 6 months. You're only attending church half of the year. When you add it all up, no, it's got to be a priority to spend your time with fellow believers and serving and using the spiritual gifts that God has given you. They're to be laid down for Him. Don't let other stuff become a priority that blocks that. But compared to most of the world's population, we are wealthy. Just about everybody in this room, compared to the rest of the world, is doing pretty darn well, right? And so whatever blessings God has given us, we're called to share and to serve. We're expected to share, all right? And it's worth it. If that includes sacrificing our whole lifestyle, abandoning it, it's worth it for Jesus. This leads to reason number two there on our outline. To abandon our lifestyle for Jesus. Number two is positions often reverse in eternity. Positions often reverse in eternity. So let me ask you a question. You look at this story that Jesus tells. Who do you relate to more in this story? Lazarus or the rich man? Really think about that based on the information given about these two. Now, maybe life is beating you down And it seems like there really isn't any hope in your daily life. You say, man, I do relate to Lazarus. In fact, maybe it's even worse. I hope this isn't the case for anybody here. But maybe people pass you regularly and still leave you feeling alone and not cared for in your life. Maybe I've been one of those people and I'm sorry. But if that's you, or if you've ever been through a tough time like that, let this story remind you that Jesus hasn't forgotten about you. Even if I've let you down, even if the church has let you down or somebody from the church, Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name. And if you entrust yourself to Jesus, he will carry you through this hard life. He really will get you through it. And you will share in his reward, that reward of a relationship with the creator of the universe for all eternity. In the meantime, those of us around you are to be your brothers and sisters. And that brings us to the rich man in the room, me. Between the two, that's who I resemble. I mean, I'm not Jeff Bezos, all right? I'm not bragging about, look at all my jets and stuff, or I'm going to take a rocket ship one day up to the moon. I don't know. No, I'm not Jeff Bezos. But, you know, isn't that funny how we try to justify ourselves like that? I see these millionaire politicians, you know, saying, it's the billionaires that should be doing something to help people. And I'm like, well, what are you doing, millionaire senator? You know? You always look at the person that's got a little more than you, and you point to them. But, of course, I shouldn't even be doing that. I should be asking, what am I? What am I doing? Very simply, am I trying to grab all the fun and happiness that I can get in this life to the neglect of actually living for Jesus? If I'm doing that, I'm headed for a rude awakening. I'm headed for a rude awakening. How can I say I'm really following Jesus if I'm really living for myself and ignoring what he wants me to do and the people he wants me to help? How can I say I walk daily with Jesus if I'm living for myself? In Jesus' story, Abraham says, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he's comforted here and you are in agony. So do you look more like the rich man or Lazarus? Because if we're just puffing ourselves up and our own interests, it's going to lead to a switch to loss in eternity. And you might be thinking, and I'm tempted to think this way, but I'm a Christian and I'm forgiven. So as long as I'm a Christian, I'll still be okay. No, did you know? First, I don't have a slide for this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches even Christians, when they stand before Jesus but didn't really live for him, they're going to suffer loss. A switch really is coming. Of course, we don't want to identify with the rich man. We want to come up with reasons why we're not like him at all. We'll say, well, I've done good things for other people. I've given. I give at church or something like that. Or, I've been through hard times too, you know. All right? Yeah, no, I got a nice lifestyle, but I've endured some pains. But, of course, we're just trying to justify ourselves. This rich man may have shared with his family. This rich man may have been through some hard times. I mean, this life is a mixed bag of beauty and terrible things and tragedies. And so, yeah, maybe his chariot caught fire one day. He was riding home and he like barely jumped out and survived. And everything that was in there got burned up along with it. Okay. Or maybe he had a sixth brother. We hear about the five still alive. But maybe he had a little brother that died way too young and he mourned and had to bury his little brother. Maybe this rich man, he cared for a loved one through a very tough time and stood right by her side and cared for her. Well, those are all, that's a good thing. And those are hard things that guy may have gone through. But and it humanizes the guy. But there was a desperate man in need in his front yard every single day. And he didn't care. Even the wicked care for their own. But Jesus laid down his life for us when we were still his enemies. Jesus died on the cross for me when I was a sinner, turned away from my God, rebelling against him with my whole life. He did that for all of us. It's not enough to just care for our household. Of course we should do that, of course. But don't think that earns you points. Nothing earns us points. We gotta be obedient. It's better for me to suffer loss here in this fleeting life because I laid it all down for what Jesus wanted to do and then to be comforted, rewarded in my relationship with Jesus for eternity. You know, even in the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet, speaking the words of Yahweh, says, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs. That's the switch. We spend ourselves. Jesus says, just spend yourselves, and God's going to satisfy you. He's going to lift you up. That's better than what we can do trying to scramble around ourselves. Jesus said over and over again, all through the Gospels, he said, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. On which side of this eternal switcheroo will you be? Will you grab all you can now and head for a shock in eternity? Or will you serve Jesus now and just trusting God to provide for you and give you your rest and your comfort and your security and your joy and your peace in relationship with him? Let's do that one. The third reason, last one we're going to look at today on your outline, to abandon our lifestyle for Jesus, is that today's choices lock in eternity. Today's choices lock in eternity. This rich man was selfish, he's self-centered, he's entitled, he's arrogant in his life, but being in hell didn't change that at all. It didn't change it at all for this guy. He wants to boss Lazarus around. Lazarus has had this miserable life. He's finally getting some rest. He didn't get to see it on earth, but he's finally experiencing some rest in heaven, and this rich man wants him to be ordered like a slave to leave heaven and come down and serve him some water. Abraham says, no, even if I was inclined to send Lazarus to do that, to run this errand, there's just no back and forth between heaven and hell. It's locked. Eternity is locked. C.S. Lewis said eternity is locked from the inside. And I agree with him. I agree with him. There's something to that because this man, he doesn't ask to join Abraham. He doesn't say, please, pull me up there with you guys. He doesn't try to get out of hell. There's no signs of him being remorseful over not helping Lazarus. Instead, he wants Lazarus to serve him. He should have served Lazarus. But he's like, no, send Lazarus to come serve me. Now, he doesn't enjoy being in hell. He's not saying, I'm glad. No, he says it's agony. It's torment. He even wants a special warning sent to his brothers, again, asking Lazarus to run another errand for him. He wants a special warning for his brothers. So this is not the place you want to go. But the rich man doesn't want to go to be where Abraham's at even more. He'd rather stay where he's at than go there. He doesn't even ask. And that reveals the condition of this man's heart. That's what's revealed here. And about the heart, consider his brothers that he's worried about. The rich man's brothers. Abraham says, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Do you think Jesus might be talking about his resurrection there? Hinting a little bit at it? Yeah, I think that's probably a good guess. As Jesus was being rejected, he's building followers. People are coming in droves to Jesus, and many people are choosing to go even further and become his disciple, his follower, not just, hear what he has to say. But he's also getting his share of critics, and they're rejecting him more and more along the way. Eventually, of course, we know, they kill him. They put him up on a cross. But he predicted, Jesus did, that his church would face this same kind of rejection that he did, even after his resurrection. During his earthly ministry, Jesus taught, you know, if you really listen to Moses and the prophets, if you really knew God the Father, these religious elite are saying, oh yeah, we belong to God the Father. He said, if you really belong to God the Father, then you'd embrace the Son. But you reject the Son, which means you don't really have a relationship with the Father. Jesus calls them out and says that. That's where your heart's really at. The Pharisees around Jesus are like these five brothers. They're just like him, and many, even most, are not going to be won over even after his resurrection from the dead. What about our context here? 2,000 years later, across an ocean or whatever, we have Jesus risen from the dead. We're living in that day where we can point back to this historically verifiable event. I mean, the evidence is outstanding. For Jesus' resurrection from the dead, proving that he is who he claimed to be, God Almighty, that he did what he claimed he would do. He would beat death for everyone who would trust in Jesus as Lord. That means God, the boss, I live for him now, and Savior. And yet, like these brothers, I've seen this. I've seen it. You can lay out all the evidence for the resurrection plainly, convincingly, and people still reject God. Why? Because it's not an evidence issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Everyone's going to be given the revelation they need from God to draw closer to him. Maybe you're part of that revelation for somebody, to share your story or the gospel with somebody. You're part of it. That's part of being the rich man around a poor person. People who don't have the Lord, that's their greatest need. And we walk by them every day with the ability to share our story and to share the gospel. And when we withhold it, we're like the rich man walking by a person, enjoying our life and all the benefits we have in relationship with Jesus, but not sharing it with somebody. But God will give every person what he or she needs to come to Christ. But each person is going to make their own choice. And that choice locks into eternity. This is the time. This is the time to do it. And so what's the condition of your heart, really? Really? Does it belong to Jesus? Do you really want a relationship with him, even though it entails surrendering everything to him? Is that okay with you? If Jesus called you to quit the thing you love most doing in life, are you willing to even do that for Jesus? Are you willing to go and serve the people that he places in your life with all the blessings he's given you, time, talent, and treasures? Jesus warns the hard heart that lives for their own lifestyle, but he's also giving hope. If you abandon everything, even if it costs you literally everything, you run out of stuff, he gives you hope that you've got everything and infinitely more in him, in relationship with him. Our main idea is this. You want to write this down. Join Jesus now in serving others to share in his eternal reward. Surrendering your life to Jesus and valuing the things and the people that he values is a very high cost. It's our whole lives. We didn't even talk about objectively sinful lifestyles, you know, chasing a bunch of drugs and highs or sexual sin or, you know, dishonest gain or whatever. But even the otherwise wholesome stuff, all of it's to be laid down at Jesus' feet. By the way, you should give up all of those sinful lifestyles, all right? That's a different sermon, though. I'm talking about anything in our life, okay? It all needs to be laid down for Jesus, but you know, I guess I'll say this at the end. If Jesus isn't afraid to say it, I shouldn't be afraid to say it. If you like your life, if you like your lifestyle and you want to keep it, you don't want to surrender it to Jesus, you can keep your lifestyle. But if you're willing to abandon it for Jesus, you'll get infinitely more in him, in relationship with him. What's worth more to you? Your life or Jesus? He's asking that question. And you should consider the cost and the value. We're going to close in a song. I invite you to stand with me here. We're going to pray over our offering. And after we sing this praise song, and it's a great one, to cement in the things that we're studying here this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're feeling like Lazarus today, you just need help. Would you speak up? Come down for prayer. Talk to a member of our pastoral prayer team to talk with you and pray with you, and let us know how we can be helping. You could do it with even just a connection card. If you can't get to you don't know who to talk to, of course you can come up to me. But put a connection card in there. We'll look at these things this week. We want to be your brother and sister, all right? Maybe you're the rich man today, but you're ready to repent, and you're ready to really surrender your life to Christ, to be used for his glory. But you want some prayer. Come down and get some prayer for that. Commit yourself to Christ today, whoever you are, whichever character you identify with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so richly blessing us that even though we've turned away from you, you held back nothing, giving even Jesus, your Son, to die on the cross for our sins and to raise first from the dead, promising that everybody will be raised from the dead who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior to eternal life with you. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in this room who's never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would do it right now. And Lord, for the Lazarus here in the congregation or maybe tuning in online, I just pray they would know your comfort, that they're not forgotten, you know their name. And Lord, may they trust in you even through their burdens. And may they find help through your church to support them in their need. Rally around them. God, for us rich men in the room and women, would you lead us by your Holy Spirit to continue daily to surrender to you, to open up our eyes to the needs around us, the needs for people to hear the gospel, the needs for people to have encouragement or help or accountability. Open up our eyes to see those things and to lay our own agendas down to go and do what you've called us to do. God, we give you this offering as an act of worship. It doesn't pay you back. It's not even trying to pay you back for all that you've richly given to us. We do it to worship you and to give thanks. We pray that you'd bless that offering and it would be used to advance your kingdom, including helping people in need. Thank you. Thank you for all you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.